All right, good evening, everybody. Just heard the bell, so we'll get started. If there's a lot of participation, like I think there might be, then we may not get through everything. So we'll see. Adam, I'm looking at you, and I think you're just going to have so much to contribute. When we get to these seasons, you're going to be all in it. So the next two lessons will be parenting, nurturing marriage through changes in the seasons. So we've gone over this. I'm going to go through some of this a little quicker, but you see the next two classes where we focus on parenting through the seasons. And then, first season is springtime. And if you're not in springtime, Matthew, we'll call you early spring. You're not there yet, but you're working on it. So, springtime is when love begins, leaving the parents' home, joining to a partner for life, living and growing together. Can everybody relate to springtime, some of you? Even if it's a long time away, can you still relate to your springtime? Keep those memories. Summer, raising children. The family expands and the focus changes, teaching and disciplining together, preparing new souls for life and eternity. And in autumn, when children leave, guiding with wisdom while learning to let go, embracing new sons and daughters. And in winter, looking to the future, learning to be a grandparent, building for the future, scattering more broadly, preparing for eternity. So tonight we're going to focus on springtime and summer, and in this coming Lord's Day we'll focus on autumn and winter. So Jason, would you lead a prayer before we get started and pray for our marriages, if you would?
Father, we thank you for the midweek time to get together to study more about our marriages, and pray that you would bless us in them. Pray that we could prepare ourselves and to take your word and reflect upon it and evaluate how we could be better husbands, better wives, better parents, and serving better, and become couples that glorify you in all that we do, be a reflection of Christ in the church. Pray that we would take all the principles that we have studied throughout this course, and that we could strengthen our bonds with one another. And those who are preparing for marriage or thinking about it, help them to be prepared and apply the principles here. We ask you to be with us this evening as we study, and pray that we would all be open-minded and participate in discussion, and that we all benefit from our time here tonight. It's in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, looking at this, how many would say they're in springtime? Any springtime? All right, no, not you. But you got a couple. How about summer? Raising children. Maybe the bulk in summer. Autumn? Children are leaving? Yeah. Winter? Winter? So we have a good group, right? Somebody in every season here. So that's beneficial for everybody in this room. Because if we're not going to talk about autumn and winter tonight, but those that are in autumn and winter can definitely share experiences and help those who are in springtime and summer. Right? So springtime when love begins. In Proverbs 6:20-23, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So we'll leave his father and mother. Expectations versus reality. Does that really happen? Is it change? Really? Mason, come on.
I feel like that's the source of probably 97% of the disagreements and tension in the first, I don't know, 3 or 4 years of our marriage, maybe longer than that.
Yeah.
It's just expectations that we never bothered to question and thought, well, it's just that's the way I've always done it.
Right.
That's the way my family did it, so that's the way this family will do it.
Right, and then now it's two families coming together, and it's a new reality, right? New expectations. So mom and dad always did it this way, but dad never did it this way, right? Finding the right distance away and taking advice and only using part of it. Would you really only use part of advice? Taylor? Seriously? You just use, right? You're not going to use it all, right? I mean, that's just, we've got to be honest. That's the way it's going to happen. Now I'll pick up in Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy in being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So the choice is made now, right? So how do we optimize this kind of interesting word? Optimize it? How do we grow it? Focus of attention on each other, right? Not, we were selfish individuals kind of before we came into this marriage. Making decisions for your new family and first love versus choosing to love. Any comments on that one? First love, Sam?
This idea in springtime, one of the big changes that's made is, you know, you may have, that you're making a choice, and you may have gotten to know several other people. You may have looked around. You may have been uncertain about the choice going into marriage, but now the choice is made.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not a time to question anymore. Now the time is to say, okay, how do we make the best out of this? And that's a change.
Absolutely. Yeah, a very good point. We'll cover that a little bit later, too, I think, too. But that choice has been made, so how do we move forward with that? And the two shall become one flesh, living together, making room, finding compromise. Rod, didn't you speak of that? Like, I don't know how many classes ago. He said that was one of the keys to a godly and happy marriage, right? Compromise?
Compromise.
Compromise. Yeah? Listening to each other in love languages, adjusting, filling emotional needs. You remember the survey we did at the beginning of class? Was that beneficial? Was that helpful? To learn a little something, maybe? Have you looked at that again? Would it be wise maybe to look at that again sometime after this class or keep it with you and kind of learn from that?
Stuart?
Yes.
So just one point to make on the previous slide there. So I think, you know, one of the challenges that is often the case in kind of marriages today is that it's maybe less common for it to be a situation of the husband and wife each leaving their father and mother, but instead leaving a situation where they're single. They're just by themselves. They've been living alone for a long period of time.
Right, right.
And now, you know, they're going from being living as a single person to joining with a spouse. And so it's kind of a different dynamic, different challenge than, you know, maybe if they came right from being with their parents or their family to joining with the spouse.
Oh, agreed. That was my situation for sure. And probably several in this room were been out for a while and then independent and single. And then it's like, then you really adjust, right? Or adjust more. But, and then you get married and come together. And a lot of learning, a lot of compromise, a lot of adjusting. Thank you for that. All right, and then financial challenges. Surely there are not any financial challenges in springtime. How to live on starting salaries, one income or two, how to plan for the future, major purchases, a car, a house, appliance, pets, paying college debt or other debts that you may have when you come together. Too much month at the end of the money. Right, too much month at the end of the money. You ever heard of that one before? Springtime challenges. You laugh. Any thoughts on that? Did I come up with that? That's not my original.
Did Jenna come up with that?
She could have. I remember the days, Clayton.
Stuart, and that's without a crisis during that time.
And that's without a crisis. That was that without your car needing a whatever, brakes or whatever. All of a sudden, that's just daily living and adjusting to that and how to live on one income, two income, starting salaries. Yeah, no crisis mixed into that. And usually, something will happen. in the early years. Rod's smiling. It's like, you remember? Something usually happens.
Thinking about the really young spring time is they suddenly realize 30% of the paycheck goes somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or they get it.
Yeah, the first check. I couldn't wait for my kids to kind of finally get a check that was like a check from a company or something where they actually took taxes out. Because all of a sudden they look and go, wait a minute. That's not what I made, right? There's taxes on it. Yeah. Welcome. spiritual challenges, practicing hospitality in the springtime, praying and studying together and alone, setting goals for development, encouraging and holding each other accountable. Now I'm going to read this article, and Sam, I'm probably going to go to you for help on this one, but I'll tell you kind of mine. But destructive to marriage is a self-fulfillment ethic that assumes marriage and the family are a primary institution as personal fulfillment, necessary for us to become whole and happy. The assumption is that there is someone just right for us to marry, and if we look closely enough, we'll find the right person. The moral assumption overlooks a crucial aspect to marriage. It fails to appreciate the fact that we always marry the wrong person. Now, this is Stanley Hauers, whatever his name is. We never know whom we marry, we just think we do. Or even if we first marry the right person, just give it a while and he or she will change. For marriage, being the enormous thing it is, means we are not the same person after we have entered it. The primary problem is learning how we love and care for the other stranger to who you find yourself married.
You can find this article online. It was kind of an interesting thought.
I looked it up, yeah.
This is, you know, we all change. And what does that mean when I change from the person that my wife married?
And you've changed, and I've changed, and we all change, right?
My hair got lighter.
Lighter and less, for sure. So, but interesting thought, though, right? Because we do have to adapt and change and grow, and how do we move from here? Emotional challenges, recreational time together versus apart. Affectionate, intimate conversations, planning for children, pregnancy, and adopting. All challenges that you agree that are probably in the springtime. Maybe some other seasons as well, but definitely springtime. Now, you've probably seen this. I threw this in there because we've seen this probably every class. Is there a message behind the message, right? Marriage as God designed it requires effort, but produces great blessing. And there is great purpose to marriage and parenting beyond the pursuit of our own happiness. And godly marriages are a blessing to family, a church, and society. And then put some scripture in here to kind of go along with that. Ephesians 5:25, husband, love your wives. And we've talked about all this in previous classes. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And then Colossians 3:12-13, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. All right, it's going to take 3 minutes to do this little quick exercise. So, in groups of like four, whatever, you just blend them up, a couple rows or whatever, read Philippians 2:1-4, and then I want you to answer why might these characteristics be especially important in a marriage, particularly in the early years. So just grab a few together, a couple rows or whatever.
Okay. Purposeful, right? I'm in the situation being very different.
All right, just a couple more seconds. We'll just. We're going to start in the back and come up. Somebody from the back, couple rows. Back two rows. Somebody from the back two rows want to answer or share the feedback? Share the.
No, we were just talking about how in the beginning of marriage, I mean, it's very important to have this type of thought process mentality, because as you're growing, you're kind of learning each other, learning what that one mind is, learning how to love each other and having that relationship. So having these characteristics of humility is very key at that time when you're learning each other.
For sure. Who else? Clayton, I know this was your favorite one.
I wasn't listening to anything he just said, so I might repeat some of it. I'm kidding. I heard it all. A point that was made by, I think Dave said it in our group, was that you've been focused for your whole life up to this point on satisfying your own needs and your own self-interests. And it's a big, big shift to go from thinking about what you need to what we need, what someone else needs, and as a foundation of what's going to be the rest of your life. And of course, we've not brought up children, but if you can't get this straight with your spouse, it's going to be another rude awakening when you have children.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll throw that into the mix.
Yeah, good. Back couple rows. Anybody? Front couple rows. We'll take one more. Who wants to take a stick?
Your point.
somebody share. Okay. I'll add to what he just said. I think that was your comment. I just threw the weeping in there. But what struck me was you had all of those challenges grouped together on those slides. It's kind of overwhelming.
A lot.
To see it all in kind of one list like that. That's a lot of
challenges.
A lot of ways to mess things up.
Yeah. There's no room for self in. So.
A lot. Yes. Yes, sir.
So Nancy pointed out that when you first get married, first starting in a relationship, there's all this romantic energy, right? And you're willing to do whatever it is, whatever you can for the other person. And so in the early years, you have all those challenges, and you're building for the future, as we've said. And so it's important to get all of it right. But you have this enormous inertia that you're bringing into the relationship. Or you can make those changes, and you're willing to change and to sacrifice for the other person. And so I think it's important to have these characteristics early on in the relationship, because you're probably going to make the most progress in that time.
Yeah, very good.
There's less baggage holding you back.
Right. More energy, less baggage, all of that. Yeah. Good. Yes, Wendy.
I was just going to say that some of the most beautiful marriages I have ever seen are the ones who are looking outward in the same direction. They're moving, the two people are moving in the same direction or goal. They're looking at the same goal, and they're moving together in that goal. And I can think of so many people who demonstrated that in my life, and I've tried to emulate that. But I will say what Nathan's talking about. For all those springtimers, and I think I fall in the autumn, is one thing that has worked so well in our marriage is if you wake up every day, y'all are going to laugh, and I said this, and ask your spouse, what can I do for you today? And I just studied those so much for Harley when we just, you know, just start off with the mindset, well, how can I help you today? What can I do for you today? And that just, it really just does so much for us to say those words.
That's great, yeah. Nobody laughed. Everybody thought that was great. Because it takes, we're not thinking about ourselves, right? We're thinking about what we can do for our spouse. Yeah, think about others. Right. Very good.
Stephen McGiscary,
what's that?
I said, Stephen McGiscary, if I answer that.
All right, thank you. Now we're going to get into further questions. So is it a good idea that newly married couples move away from where their parents live and worship? Why or why not? And I'm not looking at you. Any thoughts on that?
Can you repeat the question,
please? Is it a good idea that newly married couples move away from where their parents live and worship?
Yes, I think it was.
Yes?
Yes. Well, and I think about it even from where, you know, from a working aspect of what I do, is that when parents get involved, like when people are buying houses, even you can't even think about when parents get involved with, you know, their daily lives. I mean, they need to be starting their own life and their own decisions and doing things on their own without, I mean, there's enough stress in that in itself without having all these other voices involved.
Yeah.
Rod and I moved a lot. And always away from the parents.
Right.
But we only had each other. We only had each other. So we had to depend on each other.
Right.
We had to grow together. We had to become one. Even if we got advice from our parents.
Right.
We really had to make, we had the circumstance and we had to make that decision together.
You grow stronger probably earlier. Yes, ma'am.
So I didn't do this, so my opinion is completely
not different. Everybody does, yeah. So I expect two different answers on this. And it depends on the family and kids.
Well, what I was actually going to say was really not disagreeing, but I think this may be jumping ahead to the fall season, but it maybe depends on the relationship that you have with your parents. If your parents tend to be, kind of, I don't want to say overbearing, but if they want to help a lot, right, then maybe moving away is a good idea to sort of create some space and, you know. But if your parents are willing to be hands-off and to leave you alone and travel 5 or 6 weeks out of every month like my dad does, then
you never see him.
Yeah,
it's like he's away.
He's fine.
Yeah. Yes,
I think it's better, honestly, to move away from your parents, but honestly, I don't think it makes too much of a difference. Like, either one could work. And honestly, I feel like the way society is moving towards, like in India, people will stay with their family for a good long while.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, with the way like America, like housing prices and all that, kids really can't afford to move out right away. And I feel like that's just going to get worse. Like, I feel like the dynamic is going to be shifting probably a lot more than like the next couple of decades, where it's pretty normal for kids to stay home until they're like 25, 30 or something like that.
Yeah,
I think I think it was very beneficial for our marriage for us both to move away from our family.
Right, oh, yeah. Right.
Like, I think it benefited us.
But it can be done the other way too. Yeah, for sure. It depends how you grow closer together, and one kind of forces you more in that versus the other. But Sam, you had a thought?
Yeah, I was just going to say, this was one of those discussion questions, but I think the point's really been brought out well. It's not about how close you live, it's about leaving father and mother and being joined to his wife and forming new families. We live in a neighborhood with a lot of multi-generational families, and that is becoming a lot more common. It's not a bad thing, but then you have to be very deliberate about the separation between the two families living in the same house. For us, we moved away. We had the chance to buy the house next door to Nancy's parents, and we ended up buying a house that was 20 minutes away instead. And that was deliberate. But you have to, at this point, form your own family. And it can't be, you know, we're going to do this way because dad did it this way and mom did it.
Right.
Because your spouse had a different dad and mom.
If you're close enough, you know, distance-wise, that, you know, again, we're talking early, we're springtime, but I keep bringing up kids. But if you can be close enough that your kids can have a relationship with the grandparents, that can be a huge, huge value.
Yeah, as you get to that stage, too. Yes, Kelsey, agree.
I was just going to say that sometimes it's not about, like, distance either, because I know a lot of people who aren't very far from their families, and their families still have a lot. They have a lot of control over decisions that they make. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's not just moving away from them, but I think it's also like making sure that you're setting boundaries between like how far your advice or how far your reach is going to go into my life or my marriage right now. Right?
Yeah, you have to protect that marriage for sure.
So one interesting, I think, interesting reality about the context of a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, is that the world in which that was stated was a world where multiple generations would live together.
Yeah.
And you see that all through the Old Testament. They didn't move away. That was the exception. And yet, living under the same literal roof, they were still expected to leave father and mother and cleave to the wife and become one flesh. So, I mean, yeah, the economic realities are there,
yeah.
But I don't think they're new. The challenge has always
been
there.
Long time, yeah. They build structure and they have rebar going up, and when the family grows, they build another level and the rebar goes up and it just keeps going up.
Means that it can be done even in
For sure, yeah.
I was just curious, I don't know if there's anybody in the, what are you calling it, fall or winter season where their kids are going through this at this point, and curious what they might think about this question.
Well, my daughter moved away, so she's happy. She's good. And they're growing closer together. And it's really great for them. They've got a really good church family there. So it's awesome to see them grow like that. So that's great. Would I like her a little closer, maybe? Sure, but it's good for the marriage.
Just a little bit of joking that I'm kind of glad Nash lives 40 minutes away, so he'd be borrowing all my tools if he loved me.
Yeah.
No, but they moved away. They're worshiping at Mountain View, and that's helping them to develop, you know, themselves. Aaron lives a lot closer to home, so it's
But even Atlanta, 10, 15 miles can be an hour plus away, so it's not like you're right there. Yes.
I grew up in a family where my grandmother lived across the street, my dad's brother across the street, and so we were all basically in the same block. And there's a lot of benefits to that as well. You have your cousins that you grew up with, you go to the church together, you grew up with your parents, there's no third-party babysitters, you know, everybody's a babysitter.
Right.
So I think everything goes back to it's those emotional boundaries. Not the distance,
true.
And also realizing that even though we all have families, maybe some of the members of the family perhaps don't have the same moral standards or the same beliefs, and learning to navigate that as well. New marriage, Stephen and I are married for 5 years. My family is very far away in Texas, and I miss them very much. So to me, I love my husband, of course, but I wish I had my brother nearby that I could go visit.
Yeah.
And there's benefits to that as well.
For sure. Especially as you get into, as Clayton was saying, the summer, and you start having children, and there is care close by.
So
that's a big assistance.
Yeah, having grandfathers, uncles, cousins is nearby, it's a very big blessing.
Yeah.
and that's part of marriage at a certain stage. That even the advice of another brother that is married can be very beneficial. I agree.
For sure. Where can a new husband look for advice when making critical family decisions?
Why?
Okay. Yeah.
The Bible.
The Bible, yeah.
So one of the things that the blessing of being a part of the church is you have brothers and mothers and fathers multiplied over. So if you're only looking in your peer group to help figure out your decisions as you're all going through these things together, you're missing out on a huge benefit of the people who are just right ahead of you, who have already raised kids, or the people ahead of that. You know, you go to Titus now, the older training the younger. It's just, if you're not looking out amongst, outside of your peer group, to those ahead of you who are wiser and more experienced, you're missing out on a big benefit.
Oh, true. Yeah, thank you for that. I'll share a quick personal story. But when we were married many years ago, there were two older people, you happen to know them, that adopted us. It was your parents, Larry and Maisel. They adopted us as a newly married couple, and then when we had kids, they'd come along. But we did, I mean, we'd ride to church together and all that. But they were very influential to me and important to our marriage at that time. Being a new Christian, being newly married, it's great. So it doesn't have to be somebody just your age, like you said. It can be older as well. Oh, honeymoon is over. Anybody ever heard that? Not from your spouse, hopefully. I think we know what that one comes from. Is it wise for married couples to have separate bank accounts or pool their income and expenses in a single account?
Raises the stakes. You got to get it right.
When I opened my company, my accountant made me do it.
Have your own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Company
but
account.
Springtime when you're newly married.
Oh, no. I don't know. I didn't do that in spring.
In the springtime, did you? Yeah. Is it wise for married couple to retain separate hobbies that they enjoy?
We're leaving that topic. Yeah.
Which one? You didn't have to go fast. I'm going to have to roll some of this over to Sunday. I know what I'm ready. Okay,
that's
go ahead.
That's a big one, and a lot of people have differing ideas about that.
Yeah.
And it can really, well, and they can make comments. It's kind of funny, but, I mean, you get it wrong.
So what are your thoughts on it?
Huge. Well, Dave actually had the thoughts.
Dave said to become one or what?
That was pretty strong for us.
Yeah.
I mean, we back when we were teaching the kind of the newlywed class a few months ago, it was one of the first things we said to them that made an impact in our marriage. Because, like, we still have monthly budget meetings, and we talk about, because we're talking together about how are we going to decide to use this. It's
right.
Not a, hey, you use yours over here, and you use yours. We have to figure it out, and I think that's the, yeah, that's a huge part of becoming one.
I agree.
So
me personally,
strong advice for you.
One bank account, two tubes of toothpaste. Right. It makes everybody happy.
We
don't remember that one.
We, and maybe that's why we're happy, because that's exactly what we do.
Yeah.
That was a very early decision, but an earlier class when we talked about trust and openness, and we talked about differences,
yeah,
what exactly that means. That's a big, big part of this is the trust and the openness. And it's kind of, I mean, I don't know how you can be totally open and totally transparent if there's two different accounts. I just don't know how that
could
possibly be the best decision.
I don't disagree. I think you have to be transparent and open. It helps you come together. Agree.
You can go to that.
Okay, thanks. But you want to talk about hobbies or can I go on? Oh, I'll go back. You want to talk about hobbies?
No.
Okay, we're going to summertime.
Hey, can I talk about hobbies?
Yes, you may.
What, just one of the things we, you know, when we talked about, when we talked about the emotional needs survey, you may not have picked up on this, but this recreational activities, hobbies with your friends is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with hobbies with your friends. But hobbies with your spouse gives you some more time together to start having those conversations. And so I think at the very least you need to consider how much of your hobby time is spent with your spouse and how much is not. And make the right, you know, choice for you, but don't just dismiss it and say, no, I've always done these hobbies and always will. And my wife will enjoy these hobbies, or I'll just go by myself. It's a pretty selfish attitude.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. No, I think you need to have mutual hobbies.
But thinking about how to spend time together is a deliberate decision of how to have discussions together. And I think those are some of the things that help draw you closer.
Developing new ones, Chad, I think.
And sometimes the blending of those two can be a little challenging. I mean, Christy took me to the Van Gogh art exhibit. That was a big stretch for me. I tell you, we were looking at all these sunflowers and stuff, and I'm thinking, we're fixing to have a dove shoot.
She's expanding your mind. That's good, though. It's a good example. It can be challenging. All right, we're going to move into summer.
I wouldn't put a gun in Christy's hands.
No, I know, right? If somebody says shoot pull or something, get out of the way. I'm not going to do it either. All right, raising children. Clayton, you've been waiting for this one, raising children. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Okay, bringing home children, right? Summertime, Clayton. Natural birth or adoption, this is your child there. That's a big step. How many, how soon, how far apart? All conversation. Back row, why are you laughing? You want to give some advice, back row? Brent?
Michaela? You're going to have twins, have them at the same time.
Twins. Okay, twins at the same time. The focus shifts from each other to them. How are you maintaining your marriage? That's the key part, right? How are you maintaining your marriage? With these new children, how do you keep that marriage fresh and maintain it? What do you do? How do you plan for that? And then financial planning and stress in a larger family. You had it earlier. Now maybe you have a bigger family. You have new stresses that come with that. Training and admonition. Who does what now? Disciplining to teach authority and obedience. Family time to build bonds of love. Very important. Modeling godly behavior. Spiritual training and practices. Education and schooling choices as they grow up. And planning for college or a vocation. All things that come along, right? Yes, sir.
I just want to share this thought that I think that so many times parents who have lived lives that you watched, you were just on the outside watching the way they live their lives, you'd say they've been faithful. But when it comes to having children, too many times I've seen what I always thought were godly parents, they didn't want their children to miss out on things. They didn't want their children's feelings to get hurt, and so they began to allow them to participate in things that they ought not participate in, even encourage it.
Yeah.
And I've seen children be lost
because of that,
and I've seen marriages struggle because of that. And so I say those things to say it's very important.
Very.
That parents be of the same mind on all these things that you have listed as they go into the raising of children, and be unwavering in that together.
Unity together, for sure. Excellent point, especially from somebody in a later season. Yeah, appreciate that.
Kind of along that same line, when we did the exercise a minute ago, Kevin pointed out from his vantage point that he can see that things build over time. And so what he was taking away was that having the mind of Christ and working on that now is going to prepare you as you go through these changes in a much better way than if you get, you know, kids later in life, and then you start to try to figure things out and work with one another. I just think that's a good observation.
Very good.
Work on it.
Early. Managing time in relationships, interacting with the grandparents, time with extended family who live remote, building friendships with Christians. This one I'm going to stop just for a minute because this one is just, you talked about it, but it's just key, just critical, and so valuable to build a relationship with your Christian family here. It's unbelievable. If you haven't, or if you haven't stretched out far enough, do. If you need anything, reach out to somebody else. Somebody's in a different season, somebody's in the same season, but that's so important. Engaging in services and caring activities that you can do together that helps you grow. And then extracurricular sports clubs, hobbies, but still focusing on that family, not getting away from that. Joining the rat race, more career opportunities, more time, more travel to earn more pay, finding balance, career opportunities that require relocation, bigger house, bigger car, bigger vacation, living separate lives together. What is that, living separate lives together? Can that happen? How does that happen?
Two separate careers.
Get you busy here, come back together. And it's like, okay, you just live in two separate lives together.
That can be a springtime newlywed thing as well.
Yes. For sure.
Stuart, the priorities have shifted, totally shifted. When you're doing all those things, you don't have the first love of your mate.
You've left your first love a bit. Right.
But I think it's something in the summertime that you face, because in the springtime, you know, you're in a starting role in a company. You're not going to be facing these opportunities necessarily in your first year. You're still paying the dues. But about this time in life is where you start, you know, you've been in a job 5-10 years, and you're starting to see opportunities come that maybe you have to wait.
Yeah, I mean, if you want the pay increase, the job requires travel. And do you want to travel, and what does that do to your family?
And it comes right at the time when you could use a little extra money.
Of course it does. All difficult decisions that you have to make together. For sure. Challenges to the marriage. Money and sex are often stress points now. Time together is scarce and must be prioritized. And your example to your children is crucial. And then the cares of life, they can tempt everybody.
Just to highlight that word cares is from the parable of the sower. You've got in Luke 8:14.
Yes.
Those cares in and of themselves may not be sinful, evil things, but we
but
can get our lives filled.
They can take us away. For sure. Is there an optimum number of children?
Two.
Well, you go past two and you go to a zone defense, but you can have more than two.
I always thought the optimum number was one less than you have right now.
One less. What there's one I'm wondering, I know we're running out of time. What are the largest changes you observed in your marriage when children join your family? Any changes when children join in? Time? Less time?
Sleep?
Time? Just, you go out to eat and you leave and you said, I don't remember eating.
Supposedly you sleep again.
Yeah, supposedly you do.
You do.
Sure, that's one of the times where, from a husband's standpoint, Jennifer changed the most. Of learning to be, well, who's this woman that I've married to now? Because she's the mama bear just turned on. Instincts that came out and didn't know there. She's, it was a whole different person. So we had a new baby in the house and I had a new wife.
Right.
I was going to make a very similar point. There was a new admiration and a respect and an awe. And I felt like I really married a great woman once. I got
to really.
Her working with. Just like you said, all these instincts, it's like, who is this? Wow!
Yeah.
That's a great, great blessing.
Exactly. All right. That's what he said. All right, thanks for your comments. Appreciate it.